How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Tell everybody about the amazing text message you got from me last night.
So yes, so I did get an amazing text message. I opened it up and it was one of Andrea's sons on a video, and I didn't know what I was going to experience. But when I pressed play, he had taken the beginning, the disclaimer from our podcast, and actually written it out, read it all. He was pretending he was me. And at the end, he said, "And I am Morgan." And he did like a hair flip that I haven't done, I don't think, but maybe I should on this podcast. It was fabulous.
You know you've made it when your kids are now imitating not just the show, but the disclaimer.
It's funny. He's learning early.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids are going to be our PR people. They walk around telling people, they're like, you know, somebody will come up to me like at the grocery store or whatever and, you know, thank us for the show or whatever. My kids are like, "Oh yeah, How Not to Suck at Divorce." Mm-hmm, that's my mommy.
I love it. You know, one time last year or the year before, I didn't realize it, but my son's teacher was listening to it. So yes. When I came to school, you know, she pulled me aside and was like, "I just absolutely love your podcast." And then I got really awkward because I think I forget at times that we have so many listeners, which is so fabulous, and that we are, you know, top one, two, or three in the world, depending on the day, on Apple for divorce. And so then when someone's like, "Yeah, and I love your podcast," and I'm like, "Wait, you're my son's teacher." I'm like, "Oh my God." But yeah.
Where do I look? I had someone yesterday. I was having coffee in the morning with a friend, and
I thought you were going to say you were drinking in the morning.
I wasn't. It's so weird that I said I was having drinks. I wasn't. And I like how I say coffee in the morning. Wow, so many qualifiers. I was having coffee. I really was, and it was in the morning. And someone approached us, and it was something like, I can't remember how it came up, but the topic of divorce came up, and this woman was going through one, and my friend was like, "Oh, you should listen to, you know, my friend's podcast." And the woman was like, "I have a show I listen to. It's really helpful. You know, it's How Not to Suck at Divorce." And I'm just like sitting there and I'm like,
"That's well, also, shit. How bad did you look? Did you just look like you were like not even yourself?"
I didn't. She's like, normal, actually. Like I was wearing denim. I was put together. But yeah, I was just sitting there like, "Hey, that is my show." Oh, God. The places we will go. So, mediation. Here's a segue. Mediation. Dun, dun, dun. Yuck. This is a topic that we have covered a while ago. We touch on it, I mean, God, in most episodes, but it was time that we had another episode that's just dedicated to what you need to do. So this is going to be like your mediation prep Bible. This episode, I mean, take your notes, listen up. We hear you. Mediation can feel so intimidating. You don't know what's about to happen. You have all these questions, right? Like, do I need to get the mediator to like me? Why do we even have to mediate? This is going to be such a waste of time. How am I going to handle my emotions when I hear something that's totally false or in complete opposition to what I want? What if I mess up? Is it going to affect my case? We're going to make this as easy and as clear as we possibly can so that you'll feel confident when you're entering mediation. You're going to know all the facts, and we're going to give you some bonus info that you can have in your back pocket that's really going to help you work towards your goals.
Yep, that's right. So when you're approaching mediation, the topic in which you're mediating has to be really clear. You want to know what you're going in to discuss. And it could be all over the board. You could be in the middle of a divorce, so you're really discussing the entire parenting plan. You might be discussing a temporary parenting plan. You might be discussing, maybe the parenting is done and you're discussing, because you're in the middle of a divorce, all the finances. Or you could be post-divorce and maybe something pops up. Maybe it bubbles up on the parenting issues and you're back there. So again, be really clear. First thing is you want to be clear with what you're mediating, because that's the best way to start wrapping your head around what exactly is to come. All right, so let's set the stage here. We always, usually, let's talk about the parenting plan, because that's one of the big things in a divorce. And it's a pretty common issue that takes people to mediation. So I'm going to set the stage with Chad and Brenda. If you've listened to our podcast, those are our resident divorce couples. They've been through all of our episodes. So Chad and Brenda need to mediate over a parenting plan. Why? Because Chad and Brenda are at odds on a few things in their current plan.
Okay. So continuing with our stage setting, let's say that Chad, in his mind, would like to do week on, week off in the parenting plan. And in addition to that, he wants to take the kids this coming winter break skiing. And the problem with that is they would miss Christmas Day with Brenda. Brenda does not want to do week on, week off. She wants to do a 2-2-5 configuration, and she does not want Chad to take the kids skiing because she doesn't want to be away from the kids on Christmas. So here we go. Let's get ready to rumble. Time for mediation.
Okay.
My first question here is, and I know it could be different, but let's just get everything straight. In where we are in Illinois, you must mediate. If two parties are at odds, right? That is just like the standard thing. First, you mediate before it goes beyond that.
Well, hold on one second. Just to clarify, you have to mediate the parenting issues before you essentially go to court. That is mandatory. You do not, at least currently, have to mediate the financial issues before going to court. Although I am a big proponent of mediation, and I would suggest doing that before you go to court at any point in time. All right, keep on with your questions.
Who suggests the mediator?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. The gold standard of mediator suggestions are when two lawyers can agree upon a mediator. That is gold standard. There are certain times, and there's certain counties, at least around where I practice, where the judge will actually select the mediator. And it's super important to get the right mediator, because as a lawyer, I'm going to let you in on a few, kind of secret things that we think about. There are times when a judge will appoint a mediator that I know for a fact it's a huge waste of time. They're going to go nowhere. The mediator sucks and it's not going to work out. Those are cringeworthy times when that happens, because I don't want to tell my client this is going to be a big waste of time, but it likely will. So that's why it's so important to choose the right mediator. And lawyers who are on both sides take a lot of things into consideration when choosing a mediator. One of the worst things I think you can do is go on the internet and start selecting a mediator and then bringing a mediator that you've even talked to or worked with to your lawyer. That is a huge red flag. Don't do it. And we can talk about why. But things that lawyers think about when they're selecting a mediator, we think about everything. We think about who's a good fit for the client. How fast is this mediator running? Do we need someone who runs fast? Do we maybe need somebody who handholds more and runs slow? Do we like the process?
Wait, what do you mean run fast, run slow? What does that mean?
Yeah, so some mediators really push to get moving. And sometimes you have clients who it's not the best to push them. They're not there emotionally. They'll get there, but pushing them is not going to get us to a deal. And they might lose confidence in the mediator. And that's what we don't want. Because remember, usually any mediation session or sessions, if it's going to be fruitful, will save you money if you do it the right way. So we want it to work. So choosing a mediator is so important. Some mediators are very touchy-feely. Others are very to the point. And it depends on what kind of client you have. So these are all things that in a lawyer's mind, are going through our minds to make sure that we're getting the right fit.
What makes a shitty mediator? Like you said before, like there could be some mediators that just generally suck.
Yep. So a shitty mediator, and unfortunately, I've been through a lot of this, a mediator that just effectively walks from room to room or Zoom to Zoom saying, hey, Chad, this is Chad's proposal. And you're like, well, wait, that makes no sense. Did you walk it through with Chad? Why is Chad proposing this? And they're like, I don't know. This is his proposal. And then we would, let's just say I represent Brenda. We do a proposal and then he walks it over to the other room and that's it. You need a mediator that's actually digging in, talking to the parties, talking to the lawyers, and not saying, for instance, you're wrong when somebody wants to offer something, but working through the proposal. Because a lot of times the mediator's job is to say kind of nicely to the other side, are you sure this part of the proposal makes sense? Because here's what I would be thinking in the other room, or here's what a judge may do if I saw this proposal. It's not just like you hired me to deliver proposals. That's just complete nonsense.
That's one way. By trade, is a mediator, like did a mediator go to law school?
The mediators that I use are either lawyers or former family law judges. I would never recommend a mediator generally unless it was for parenting and it was a licensed therapist or psychologist. That would be the only time that I would not suggest going with a lawyer who has practiced in this area or a judge who has been in this area.
Okay. So let's say that the two attorneys are like, we want to use, you know, Margaret Mullahan to be the mediator. Both Chad and Brenda have to agree that they're going to work with Margaret. Is that correct? And do they have to talk to Margaret prior to the mediation?
So Chad and Brenda's lawyers with Chad and Brenda, if you're agreeing upon it, would agree. And usually you should defer to your lawyer if that's how it's going. Otherwise, a judge will just determine, and they may just do that anyway. So sometimes lawyers will be like this, we've agreed to use Margaret Mullahan or whatever. And you go to court and they're like, no, no, you're using Bobby Smith. And you're like, what? Bobby Smith is not a good fit. But so that's what we want to do is we want the gold standard is to try to agree beforehand and pick the right fit. Otherwise, it's a waste of your money.
Okay. So now let's say that you're working with Margaret and you're Chad, right? And you know you want week on, week off, and you want to take the kids skiing. So now you naturally are having meetings with your attorney to prep yourself on how to achieve this goal in mediation. What should be happening in these meetings? I know that there's got to be a strategy, but yes. What happens? How does the attorney prep you? And how do our listeners right now make sure that when they're having these meetings with their attorneys, that they're like, okay, this is exactly what I need to know?
Yep. So the first thing you want is you want to ask your attorney point blank, is what I'm asking for in the realm of reality? Meaning, do I have a shot at this? Because what we don't want to do is send you, and I've seen it too many times, where attorneys will send them because the client wants what the client wants, and they send them into mediation. But there's no way in hell, there's no leverage that they're going to get the ski trip, or there's no leverage to change up the schedule. You want a lawyer who's going to tell you black and white, here's the risks and the upside, and here's kind of the percentage that I think you might get what you want, whether it's in mediation or in court. So you're meeting with your lawyer. They've already told you what they think, whether it's going to be a viable option or not. And let's just say that it's like somewhere in the middle, might work, et cetera. What you want to do is you want to come in to your lawyer and say, listen, let's just say this ski trip is so important to me. Here's what I'm willing to give up in order to get that ski trip. So uh-huh. I want you to, as a client, to think about what I call sweeteners or leverage points. What are you willing to do to get what you want? And sometimes, you know, like any negotiation, any business negotiation, every side has to give. So what are you willing to give? And you want to think of ideas. And then once you start lobbing those ideas at your lawyer, they should have some ideas for you as well. So these are negotiation points.
And what you just said is so key. You were saying it in passing. You said any business negotiation. That is what this is. This is a business. That's part of the mindset that you as the client need to have, even when you're just strategizing with your attorney. This is a business. And it's so hard and it feels so unnatural to view. You're talking about your kids in this instance, right? This is not a business. These are my babies. This is my ex-wife. We're not a business. This mediation is a business. So you have to think. You almost have to think more than you feel.
Yes. You want to take, I know it's hard to say, it's easy for me to say as a divorce lawyer, as a client, and as Andrea, it's hard for people to hear this, but I want you to do as much as you can of taking the emotion out of it.
Yep.
And think about it as a business deal. So for instance, if you want that ski trip, I want you to come in with your lawyer with what I call our sweeteners or leverage points. What are you willing to give up to get that so that your lawyer can start thinking that through? The second thing I want you to do, and this is probably one of the first things, I should probably have put this number one. The first thing I want you to do, and then the second is sweeteners or leverage points. The first thing is I want you to think about your goals. What are your goals? And I don't mean my goal is to get to the ski trip. I mean, of course, that's your goal, right? But what's your like bigger goal? Mm-hmm. Is it because you want to be, and I want you to write these down. Is your goal to get to the ski trip because you have always dreamt that your children will be able to ski and this is like fulfilling a dream? Is it your goal to get to the ski trip because your son Johnny has been begging to go skiing and it's just never worked out, but this is the year that it could work out? Mm-hmm. We want to understand your goals. And or it could be more blanketed. I'm just looking to give my kids experiences. And this popped up and I'm able to give this experience. It's kind of a once in a lifetime thing. So those are goals that I would think about.
Something else that I think is important. Let's talk about the parenting plan that Chad wants, right? Because that's a big one. They're really at odds here. Chad wants week on, week off. Brenda does not. So when you're mapping out what you want, and if you are mediating something with the parenting plan, you have to get what you as Chad wants out of your vocabulary. Because if you say that this is what's best for me because of my work schedule, you are dead in the water, my friend.
Agreed.
It needs to be what's best for the kids. And then, you know, Morgan, the first thing that you said of the strategy, it needs to be realistic. So I say, like, if we rework it, number one, know what you want. Have your goals very clear, right? Number two would be, are these goals realistic? And then you have the sweeteners. Well, with the realistic part, if you've got toddlers, then hopefully your attorney is telling you that week on, week off is maybe not a thing that's going to happen, right? For like little kid. That would be kind of what we're talking about. Oh, Morgan's giving me a finger. Maybe.
I know. Well, I want to say that you just kind of like threw something out there that is important, but maybe. So you're right. Let's just say that Chad has toddlers and he's asking for week on, week off, and he's also asking for a ski trip, right?
You've got some high hopes there, Chad.
Godspeed, Chad. So anyway, so it could be, you know, number two was, let's talk about sweeteners and leverage points. Maybe Chad goes in asking for week on, week off, knowing that he's not going to get it, knowing that the sweetener or the throwaway is getting rid of week on, week off, because really what he wants is truly the ski trip with toddlers because he's insane, right? Oh, so that's something that we think about.
This is the shit that makes me nuts, because you guys, if you've heard me talk about this before, you're going to hear me repeat myself. I fucking hate chess. My brain doesn't work that way. I don't like having like these things that you hold in your back pocket or these fucking chess moves and all this shit, but this is part of mediation. So know that there are going to be, again, this is something you map out with your attorney. There's going to be things that you're having in your back pocket. Let's say you are, maybe part of the strategy is that you do lead with something that you know you might not get. And your attorney could say to you, Chad, week on, week off it's not often done in this jurisdiction for, you know, toddlers. But if you want to lead with that, and then we back away from that at a certain point to slide in the ski trip, then you can do that. But again, this is something your attorney needs to be driving the boat here. This is not something that we want you to go on ChatGPT and try to figure out on your own.
Yes. And that leads me into, I think it's our fourth to do for mediation, which is a really big one. And this is know and map out your chess moves. I know, Andrea, it's like nails on a chalkboard, but the reality is you're never going to feel comfortable going into mediation unless you know where and when you're going to make moves. So for instance, what we do for our clients so that they are comfortable is going into mediation, we prep at least two scenarios, plan A, plan B. Plan A would be our first proposal out of the gate because the mediator may say, hey, Morgan, why don't you start? Why don't you make the first proposal? So we work on it with our client. I also off to the side have like a list of sweeteners of things that maybe the client is okay to give up at some point. I'm not throwing them in the first proposal, but they're gives that I could move the needle with. And then the second thing is, okay, everybody knows that on the first proposal from each side. So I'm saying, let's say I make the first proposal on behalf of Chad, and then Brenda's lawyer makes their counter proposal. Guys, listen up. This is the worst proposal you will ever receive, the first one. I am talking, it is everyone's best case, slam dunk, et cetera, but it is the one that when you get it, you're going to want to slam your computer shut, slam the door, and walk out of mediation, but don't do it because it's just the beginning proposals.
Meaning that if you're Brenda, Chad could come to you with what?
Completely insane things. Chad could come to Brenda and say, you know what? I know I came in, I wanted a week on, week off, or I wanted to change the parenting schedule. Really, I think I should have the majority of the parenting time now. Will you agree to that? I mean, insane things come out of the first proposal. That's just the reality. Yes. Yes.
And so I want to talk about Brenda's reaction. Again, let's go to that and then I'll go to my other questions. So now we're Brenda and you have just received something so fucking bogus. But part of, and you know, because you've done your own prep with your attorney, right? So while Chad was prepping for, I want week on, week off, and I want to go on a ski trip, Brenda was prepping for reasons, like she has it very clear that she wants 225 and that she does not want the ski trip. She wants, let's just say, that they split Christmas Day in half, right? She gets the morning with the kids where she can go visit her parents, and then at 2 o'clock, she wants to give the kids to Chad and then he can have them the rest of the day, right? That's what she wants to do on Christmas. Let's just say that this is the divorce mediation and this would be the first Christmas where they haven't had, you know, mommy and daddy together. Okay, fine. Brenda's prepared for what she wants. And she was not prepared, though, for this wild offer. She is sitting in mediation on Zoom. And the mediator, let's just say it's one of those shitty ones, and they say, okay, well, just spoke to Chad, and Chad is now offering that he has 70% of parenting time and that the kids move to a ski chalet every December and January, and we're going to rename the kids, where he actually wants to have them numbered and not named. Do you agree?
Yeah, so it can happen. And it does happen. And
what does
it doesn't
do? But
well,
what?
Yeah. It doesn't. So here's the thing, from a divorce lawyer's perspective. When I know a crappy offer is coming, and I always prep my client, the first offer is awful. It doesn't matter how much I prep them, they are going to see red. Okay. So I want you to know, no matter what a good lawyer does, the first proposal or counterproposal you receive, you are going to black out. You're going to see red. You are going to be super pissed off. Okay. What a good lawyer does then is tries to calm them down. But a good lawyer also knows it's going to take a little bit of time. It's like Andrea and I always say, when you have that flush of anxiety or anger, it's going to take a good 20 minutes to come back to earth, mm-hmm. no matter what you're doing. There's ways that we can do it faster, et cetera. But just know when you're there and you're seeing red, that is normal. You will come down. At times, what I do or what Brenda could do is I tell Brenda, all right, we know you're upset. We're upset by this too. We expected this to be bad. It's bad. What I want you to do is log off, or I want, if we're in person, we're going to go take a walk around the block. Those kind of things really help. Some breathing. It sounds ridiculous, but those are the things that help. sitting there, you know, unfortunately, it's a time thing where it's going to have you come down, come back to reality, and then start negotiating again.
And even though you're like paying for this time, it is worth it for you to get your nervous system back to a place where you can think clearly, because you're going to be wasting more time and money if you respond with emotions.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned before that the attorney is going to be there saying, okay, we knew this was going to be shit. Let's talk for a moment about attorney-assisted mediations versus mediations where your attorney is not there. They've only prepped you, and then they're going to follow up with you after. Like, let's go there.
Yeah. So again, this is my opinion, being in the business for over 18 years. My opinion is that attorney-assisted mediation is gold standard. If you can do it, you should do it. If you can afford it, you should do it. There's so many reasons attorney-assisted mediation is gold standard. One, you've got someone protecting you. Two, they know what the law is and they know whether the proposals are right, wrong, or indifferent. They will respond to you that way. They know what a judge would do in the case, so they know what kind of leverage you have. There are at times, in some jurisdictions, even by us, that require parties to attend mediation with a mediator that maybe is not chosen by the lawyers, and you attend with your spouse. It's not with lawyers. In those situations, they're less than ideal. I would say the majority of the time, they do not come out with a deal. And you do better with attorney-assisted mediation if you want a deal made. So yeah. In the ones where they have to go alone, or maybe that's how it happens, the gold standard there is to set a comprehensive meeting with your lawyer beforehand. You want to understand what could happen, where you're starting from, what you can negotiate, what you can't negotiate. And what I would say to you is, if you have to go to mediation without your lawyer, if you're feeling super uncomfortable in the middle of the session, ask to take a quick break. Go take a 10-minute break, use the ladies' room or the men's room or whatever, and call your lawyer and say, this is what's happening. Does this work? Is this something I should be worried about? Never agree to something unless you feel very confident, you've been prepped, or your lawyer says yes.
So also, big pro tip here, if you have an upcoming mediation that's not going to be attorney assisted, be proactive. Ask your attorney during the hours of when I have this mediation scheduled, where are you? Are you available to speak? Or if you're in court, may I text you during this time? What is the preferred means of communication? And your attorney should be available for you, or somebody else who is familiar with your case from the firm. You should have a person who says, yes, this is how you should reach me, should you need some guidance.
You're right. And a good lawyer will want to talk to the client then, because the worst thing that can happen is that a deal comes out of a mediation and you see it as a lawyer and you're like, there's no way in hell this is going to work, number one. And two, now we have to figure out how to unwind this. This is a complete mess. So we don't want that.
So I'm going to give you action steps. So when you are actually in mediation, these are the three things that we want you to do. Number one, you need to have access to your attorney. So whether your attorney is actually there, or if you have the means to email or call or text, you need to know that you have that lifeline to legal guidance, okay? Number two, you have to be your own advocate to take breaks, to calm your mind and your nervous system so that you're not making any decisions and you're not responding with emotion to any kind of like wacky things that you're going to get your way. And you need to anticipate that you're going to get some wacky proposals. The third thing, and this is really, really important, and we're about to get into this, I want you to have written notes in front of you. Don't just keep everything you want in your brain. You need to have something out in front of you that is like your mediation cheat sheet. On this sheet, you're going to have your goals. You're going to have what you will not settle for, right? So like if you're Brenda and you really don't want your kids' names to be changed to numbers, then you need to have that list of the absolutely nots. And then you need to have your list of the sweeteners or the things that you are willing to play around with and leverage so that you can get towards your real goals in the fastest way.
Yep, agreed. And what I want you to do is, this is a pro tip for you. When you come to mediation, if you're all in the same room, don't have your notes written where people can see it. And if you go to the bathroom, take your notes with you.
Yes.
If they are written. I would prefer that somebody has notes on a phone and that they tell the mediator up front, hey, just so you know, I've written some notes on my phone. I just want to jog my memory. I'm not being rude. You know, can I do that? Or if you do have notes, just keep them very, you know, close to your chest, because I have seen people try to take each other's notes. We don't want that.
That should be illegal. Like, that's so slimy and gross.
It is.
Like, people, and look, what we're talking about here, these are like extra tools that we want you to have, right? Like, we're throwing so much at you because we want this episode to be incredibly helpful so that you get all of this information that you know you can easily apply, because you're going to get emotional.
Yep.
You're going to feel overwhelmed. If you are already in the midst, if you're already divorced and you're going back to mediation to like change something about the parenting agreement, which, I mean, I'm very familiar with this arena, it's sticky. It gets sticky and spicy because there's already some conflict. There's already some tension. You already know that, like, you know, if this is a parenting thing, mom and dad are not seeing eye to eye, and you need all of those tools in place so that you're not getting sidetracked by all of the emotions. And another tip that we have that we talk about all the time on this show is using the right parenting app, should you need one, to help you with this. Communication is such a big thing, and it could be something that you don't even have to waste time mediating over all of this little minutia if it's in place, which is why we love using our Family Wizard. So if you're not yet using our Family Wizard, or maybe you're listening to this episode because you're getting a divorce and you don't know what the hell a co-parenting app is, I want you to look into it. Our Family Wizard is, as Morgan would say, the gold standard of communication when you have more high conflict situations. This app will help you navigate just messaging back and forth. It can be court monitored if you need it. It can manage your finances, the calendars, all sorts of things. It even has, when you're messaging through it and you're getting these wacky proposals on here of things that your ex wants, like, I'm not going to drop off the kids until an hour later today. Deal with it, Chad. Well, our Family Wizard will help you respond in the most appropriate way so that you're not going to be wasting more money in court later fighting over the fact that Brenda told Chad to fuck off because he wants to drop off the kids an hour late. Our Family Wizard, another gold standard. You want this in your back pocket.
Couldn't agree more. And the one thing that Andrea didn't mention, but should, is that if you are high conflict, our Family Wizard has a tone meter, so it can basically flag emails before you launch and do something like Andrea did. Tell them where to go, how to go,
yes,
when to go.
I was trying to get there, and then I was so consumed with like someone being dropped off an hour late. Yes, that's what I meant to say. The tone meter. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's another tool that's important to have, because you need all of this. You need all these things that you can use to help you get through this process in like the smartest way possible. Okay, so back into the actual mediation. You have these notes in front of you that you're not going to let anyone else see. You have it maybe in a folder, in a binder, in a spiral notebook, whatever. But you need to make sure that you've got your roadmap in front of you. You're not going to react to the crazy things that Brenda or Chad are throwing your way. And you have a lifeline to your attorney.
That's right. The only other thing I want to say to you is that it's important for the mediator to understand when you are upset, when you think something is a bunch of bullshit. Okay, because they are the ones that's bridging, they're trying to bridge the gap and get to a deal. And What we're not saying to you is just be totally buttoned up the whole time. We're not saying that. And I don't think it is realistic for anyone to act like that when they're so heightened with their emotions. So I always am a proponent of, if you want to talk to the mediator, remember the mediator is supposed to be confidential. They're not supposed to disclose certain things to the other side if you ask them not to. So if you want to be honest with them, I suggest that you do. Meaning, can I talk to you for 5 minutes? I'm really upset by this offer. Here's why. It's a bunch of BS. I'm going to give you all the reasons that I think. And this is why what they're saying on the other side makes no sense. Give them ammunition to make the deal.
And what does the mediator say in response? Do they weigh in? Will they tell you, yeah, off the record, I think that Brenda is a total nut job and you should be able to take the kids skiing? Or do they just say, yes, I understand, Chad. Thank you for that feedback. I will relay that to Brenda.
Somewhere in the middle. So you can read between the lines of what they're saying, but a good mediator will come back to you and be like, hey, have you thought about this creative option? I know that you want this, and I know that I'm hearing Chad wants this. What about this? So you're leaning on them and their expertise, a good one, to try to get the deal done, and they're going to come to you with creative options. At the end, once they are in the mediation for some time, meaning there's already been the first really bad proposals going out, you're in the throes of negotiation, the mediator, when they understand more people or they understand you and your lawyer, if you have a lawyer with you, they may even come to you and say, hey, you know what? I don't understand your counter. I don't think it's going to get us there. And here's why. So you want the mediator doing that, because otherwise you're spinning your wheels. So that's a good mediator in my mind.
Let's say you get to this point after however long you're in mediation for, where the mediator or somebody says, this isn't going to go anywhere. Like, we're at odds. Chad's not budging. Or let's say that maybe Chad and Brenda come to a resolution with the ski trip. Right? Like, let's say Brenda says, you know what? I'm not comfortable doing this over Christmas, but if you want to take the kids over Thanksgiving break or after Christmas, I will give you a whole week where they can go skiing with you. Right? And Chad says, fine, I'll take it. But they're still at odds. Chad maybe is more open to not week on, week off, but he is not open to 225, right? And Brenda is not budging on that. Who is the person who blows the whistle and says, game over, we're done?
It could be anyone, truly. I mean, I think that, first of all, if it's the parties, you're going to want to give mediation a real shot. So that's why I always say, when you get the first crappy proposal, you don't leave. You stick it out. You see where you can go. At some points, the mediator is going to be like, I don't think I can get you guys where you need to be. And they'll call it. It's and that's great if they do, because they see both rooms, meaning they see both sides. They see the confidential communications. They know if it's going to go somewhere or not. And that's okay too. But what I want you to know, if you are in a mediation situation where it implodes or it goes nowhere, or the mediator says, we're going nowhere, we're going to end it, you did not go there for nothing. Okay. Because, and Andrea and I were just talking about this before we even hit record on this podcast. It's so true. From a lawyer's perspective, you went there to see what matters to the other side. You went there to see maybe where their triggers are, where their negotiations are, where the leverage is, where they are in general. Sometimes if you don't go to mediation, you'll never get an offer or proposal, and you're like almost to the trial. You don't know where they stand. So it is not for nothing. And don't think of it as a waste of money. In fact, think of it as something positive, no matter whether it ends in a deal or no deal.
Is mediation like Vegas, where like what happens in mediation stays in mediation? Or is it the kind of thing where, in all terms, like, does the mediator report to the attorneys or to anybody that this is everything that was discussed? Would the mediator message, you know, email the attorneys and say, should you all want to continue this conversation outside of mediation? I think that we could probably get Chad to blah, 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 blah. Is there anything like that that goes on?
There is. There is a lot of that that goes on, because if a mediator thinks like, hey, we just had a bad day, or sometimes I have mediators call and say, you know, we didn't get far with the parties, but I think if the lawyers showed up, we would get somewhere.
Okay.
And that's important. So, but what, you know, Vegas. Is it like Vegas? Yes, less strippers, clearly. But what I would say to that is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Same thing with mediation. Mediation is confidential. So for instance, you, at least where we practice, you cannot go to mediation and say, this is what I want and this is how I feel. And, you know, this is what I'm thinking and write it down. And then the next minute it's in court. You use it against them in court. You cannot. Everything's confidential in mediation.
Meaning that the mediator does not have any communication with your judge.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean that you don't take information that you learned in mediation to, you know, have some notes and understand a little bit more after the fact what you might be able, you know, to leverage down the road. Because again, the whole point to this, you guys, is you want to make as many decisions as possible. You do not want a judge making decisions for you. You don't want a judge weighing in, if at all possible, on what happens with your money, on what happens with your kids, and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I agree with you. And what I want to tell you is sometimes mediation is scary to think about. And, you know, that's this episode. But when I started practicing, and I don't feel like I've been practicing that long, but apparently I have, mediation wasn't a thing. I mean, it was all court or nothing. Mm-hmm. And the divorce practice in general was ruining families, ripping them apart. And it was horrible. And since mediation has popped up, it is fantastic. It is the best thing for families. It's the best thing for litigants. It's the best thing for your pocketbook. So think of it as a great
tool. I love
tool.
That you said pocketbook.
You know, I have this older, cute Jewish client, and she invited me to her house to look at her pocketbooks. I didn't even know what a pocketbook was, but I got there. And girl, the amount of purses apparently are pocketbooks.
Uh-huh.
I did not know that was a thing. Amount of purses she had were insane. I thought I was like there to look at wallets. I didn't even know what I was looking at.
I just love, I mean, pocketbook took me back to my childhood. I can't tell you how often my bubby would refer to her pocketbook.
Well, that's so, it. It must be like an older Jewish woman
thing. It is.
Thing.
Yeah. It's a very, it might even be like a Jewish New York thing. I don't know. But like, that's really funny. Okay. So your pocketbook will enjoy mediation. Why? Because even though you are spending money on that process, you're not spending as much money as you will when things have to go before a judge. And think about it. We talk about this all the time. You're paying for all of this communication that goes on between the attorneys. When you're in mediation, you're paying the mediator, but you have time with just this expert and your, you know, co-parent or ex or whatever we want to call them, to actually come to a conclusion on these big issues. So that's a gift. Use that time. And like Morgan said, if it doesn't work, which often it doesn't, sometimes you come to some kind of resolution, but often not every single thing is resolved. Don't look at it as a failure. You have no more now than you did before you entered mediation. So let's go back really quickly and let's go over all of the things that we want everybody to know in case they blacked out during this like rambling diatribe I went through at one point. So the strategy. So when you are meeting with your attorney prior to mediation, you want to make sure that you know your goals. You want to make sure that your goals are realistic. You want to, oh my God, what was the third? Oh, the sweeteners. Was that the third one?
Sweeteners and or leverage, right? Points.
Mm-hmm. And then the fourth?
Fourth and final was know your chess moves, right? Your strategy.
Boom.
Let's write it out.
That's right. When you are in mediation, you guys, number one, you need to have access to your attorney, whether your attorney is there with you or you know, you can text or email or call, you need to have access to that legal lifeline. Number two, you have to be your own advocate for when you need a break. Likely, not if, it's probably a when. There's going to be moments, or maybe you're just tired because you're so fucking bored, right? Because it's going on. And on and on. Take a break. Tell your mediator, I need a minute. Also, you guys, if you're in the type of mediation where you are physically in two separate rooms, or maybe you're in two separate Zoom rooms, which your mediator will guide that, they'll decide whether it's best that Chad and Brenda are not in the same like physical space. when they're talking to the other side, take a break. That's your time. If you're on Zoom and you can't leave, walk around your room a few times, do a few squats, do a few jumping jacks, splash some water on your face, do something to kind of help yourself regroup, and expect something wild to come your way with that first offer. Just know it. In your mind, you could even come up with the craziest situation so that when you get the actual offer, you're like, oh, okay. So they don't want to rename, you know, the country of China to something else. Fine. All right. Not as crazy as I thought. This we can work with. Lastly, have some notes in front of you. And like Morgan said, don't have them out in the open. Not everybody wants should see your notes, even though I think it should be illegal to look at somebody's notes, but whatever. Have that roadmap in front of you of your sweeteners and what you absolutely will not negotiate on.
I agree. And remember that mediation is a great thing. It's fabulous that this popped up in divorce. It's fabulous that we usually use this as the first line of defense before going to court. And it does save money. You are front loading a lot of money because you're going to mediation. Know that. But remember, it's a front load generally. If you get a deal done, it's usually faster, quicker, and better for your
pocketbook.
I knew you were going to say that. Anyway, everyone, we love you. We love that we have this many listeners. We answer every DM. We answer every email that you send our way. We want you to know that we have a huge private community if you need a little bit more community or help. If you need a little bit more help other than that, we have items on our website for purchase that just might give you that extra little help that you need. Whatever you need, we're here for you. That's why we do this show.
Absolutely. Get your hands on the DCC if you don't have the DCC, because it's going to be an excellent roadmap to help you navigate this wacky journey of a divorce. And remember, you're going through this because you are making an improvement on your life. You have the ability to have this divorce that you're going through, whether you wanted the divorce or you didn't want the divorce. You have the ability to become the happiest and healthiest version of yourself, but it is up to you. You can let this thing that happened to you be the worst thing that's ever happened. And you could spiral and go down this dark and sad place and be that person for the rest of your life. Or you can decide, fuck no, that's not going to be my story. I'm going to evolve. I'm going to butterfly the shit out of this moment. And I'm going to become the strongest and happiest version of myself for me, for my kids, and for anyone that you come in, any, your future partner. So possible. 5 years from now, your life can and will look so very different than how it looks in this moment. I promise you that.
You can do it. Divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. We know that every day is not a good day. It might be day by day in your divorce, or it might on some days be hour by hour, and that is okay. We are here for you. If you need us, let us know. Please, if you love the show, rate and review us. It allows us to bring on fabulous guests that we have. We love good ratings. Thank you for listening. And with that, Andrea, how should we end?
I think we should tell everybody that remember, you, my friends, have got this.
And we have got you.